fine. So now we're going to start with Thomas Klein. Baruch Hashem. Welcome back, everybody, from your vacation. From your vacation. Hope you enjoy Shavuot. Okay, so now we're going to start with Thomas Klein. Welcome back, Rav Leib. Oh, so now, we're all about Chavetz Chaim. We're holding by day number 16. So Chavetz Chaim confronts us with a classic scenario in office politics. A few employees are speaking with the boss, and someone mentions a person whom the boss is known to dislike, either for personal or business reasons. One of the employees, wanting to win the boss's favor, levels a barrage of criticism against this person. So Chavetz Chaim sees this as a particularly dangerous strain of Lashon Hara, because it derives from flattery. The Torah specifically prohibits when the person being flattered has committed a wrongdoing. Right? So to flatter someone. Let's say this guy, he wants to tell his boss, Ruben did something wrong, and therefore, you know, making himself be buddies with the boss. That's considered Lashon Hara, and also, he's adding to him the Isser Deraisa of the Lo Tachanuk Bo Ta'aretz. You shall not bring guilt and flatter onto the land, from Bamidbar 35:33. So instead of fueling the fire, says the Chavetz Chaim, the employee should have tried to make peace between the two. He should have reminded the boss of the good points of his adversary. Instead, the employee deepened the boss's hatred toward that individual. Chavetz Chaim writes, flattery is very often the source of Lashon Hara. It's the dynamic at work when people are engaged in a negative conversation. And what nods agreement to Lashon Hara spoken or adds to the negative thoughts of his own. He's adding to the Lashon Hara to feel included and win approval of the group. All this stems from the basic weakness of the need to flatter. And according to a number of Rishonim, it's prohibited by the verse, Tachanizo Ta'aret shall not bring guilt upon the land. In a case where a person is sitting among a group and hears Lashon Hara, he's required to A, to come to the defense of the accused, and to attempt to convince the people to stop their evil talk, and B, at the very least, to refrain from increasing Lashon Hara through the words or facial expressions which indicate approval of what was said. Chavetz Chaim states, the listener merely refrains from offering a defense, he is guilty of an element of flattery. Because the motivation in refraining is to avoid saying something that would cause him to lose favor with his friend. And he's saying this isn't the right of chanufa, to flatter someone. So either listening to people speak Lashon Hara and not tell them to stop speaking, or to agree to someone speak Lashon Hara, is considered Lashon Hara, it's considered flattery. It's considered making the people feel good, that I'm agreeing with them and I'm being on their side. Fine. So Ezra Hashem, we're going to start now, new Gemara, all the way on the Mishnah. We came after Shavuot to the new Schachas. We start again from the Mishnah on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. So let's see the Mishnah inside. What does the Mishnah say?
What?
Let's see the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Nishmat HaBarzel Mekita. What happened? The barzel slipped from the handle. Vahara, gonna kill somebody. The guy's an axe. And the metal part of the axe slipped out of the handle, out of the wooden handle. Rabbi says, Enugel, there's no gulls. Chachamim Aymer, Chachamim say, Gulim. So again, we have the axe slipped, not the wood. The axe flew off and hit someone and killed him. Rebbe says there's no gulls. Chachamim say gulls, there is gulls. But min had eitzam esbakeya. Let's say it went from the wood, which was being split. That's what went flying and killed somebody. Rebbe, I'm a gulls. Rebbe says there is gulls. Chachamim, I'm a gulls. Chachamim says there's no gulls. What are we saying here? We're saying like this. If the metal slipped, yeah, the metal slipped. Rebbe says there's no gulls. There's no gulls if the metal slipped. Even if the metal fell through the axe and killed somebody, there's no gulls. But if the Rabbanah Rabbanah say, if the metal slipped, that is the case of gullus. Now Rebbe said, if the wood chip slipped, there is gullus. Chachamim says there's no gullus. So basically, what's the machlokes? What's the Torah's case when you get gullus? The Torah has one specific scenario that someone kills someone b'shogeg, you get gullus. What's that scenario? So Rebbe says, if it's the metal that it's what like it's Rebbe and the Chachamim, we're going to see how to understand the pasuk. There's one case you get gods. Someone's traveling with the axe. There's one scenario you get gods. Rebbe says it's when if the metal slips, that's not the case. If the wood chip slips, the guy's hitting the wood, and the wood flies and kills somebody, that's the terrorist case. The Torah says you get godless is this case. Chachamim say no. The Torah is classic case that when chopping with the axe, you kill somebody with the gallus is when the metal slips. Now, what's the source for the Maharal?
I have a question though. When they say the metal slips, they're saying that the metal slips off and kills the guy, or the metal slips off and hits the tree, and the tree slips.
No, that's where you can later get more second power.
So we're just talking about the axe.
First power.
The head of the axe flying off and killing somebody.
Yeah, the head of the axe, the metal flew off and killed somebody.
Fine.
So that's the Maharalikas. What's the case of the Torah? Now, what's the source? What's the base of the Maharalikas? That the Gemara they have two reasons why Rebbe is going to explain himself, and they wanted to explain at least one pshat in the Chachamim. Why they explain their arguing on the Pesukim, arguing how to make a drasha in Pesukim, right? That's going to be the Gemara of Machlokes. So we see the Machlokes. What's the source? So the Shaila is when you read the pasuk, which is the case you're going to call? So now let's see whoever has a fancy Gemara.
Fancy?
Your
article, it's a newer article. You have the fancy Pesukim on the side. Defensive Tapidus. It has Pesuk on the side?
No,
fine. Okay, so let's see the Pesuk on the side. Let's see if most of the Gemara should be a Pesuk above. Let's see the Pesuk inside the side of the Gemara. What does it say? Let's read the Pesuk. The Pesuk says, Vasher Yavai Yisra'ehu Bayar. When your friend comes into, and he comes, your friend comes into the forest. Lachtor Eitzit, to Chafu. Benitcha Yada. He pushes his hand by Garza with the axe. Lichur is the eighth, to cut the tree, to cut the wood. The nashal habarzel mina eighth, and the metal slips from the wood. Umata etzre'ed, and finds your friend, the mace, and he dies. Who yonis he should run, el achas ha'arm to one of ha'elo, one of these cities, one of the Ari Miklats, v'chayin that he could live. That is the pasuk. So before we see the Gemara, to see Rashi on the Mishnah. Right, so we said, the Chachamim said, what's going on here? The Chachamim said, what is flying? Sorry, the Rebbe said, what did the person get killed from? From the piece of wood. What does Rashi say? Min ha'etz, from the piece of wood, ha'misbake, which was being chopped. Yatsa kesam, a kesam like a wood chip, a piece of wood flew, went out. Beneath it, and it like sprung, it like flew, the merafak, to a distance, baharag, and it killed somebody. Meaning, how do you get killed from a wood chip? You're killing, chopping a little wood chip and it falls down, it's not going to kill somebody. What's the case? He was chopping the wood. He was chopping the wood, and a piece went flying, Rashi says, and that's how that crushed it, that's how it hit the guy. Rashi explained the Mishnah, how do you get killed by a wood chip? Right? If you're chopping wood, like a little wood chip touches the guy, you're not going to get killed. Rashi explained it because he hit it with the axe, and it went flying. Since it hit the guy in a fly, wood chip hit the guy in a fly, that's how he got killed.
Also, at this point, he was assuming that Rebbe's holding, when he hits the tree, the axe head is still on the handle, which is, it's a split tree, but the axe is still attached.
Yeah, the axe, yeah. Exactly. Fine, the axe is beautiful. The only thing happened was Rashi explained the piece of wood went flying, and that's how possibly Rashi explained to us, like, how do you possibly get killed from a piece of wood? So he's saying that's how you get killed. You hit him on the fly. Of course, so let's see. It's not the Mashiach. But we'll see. Gemara is going to explain. I mean, that's not why we've been feeding Gemara right now. How to explain the Pesuk. But let's see the Gemara. Tanya. Amalem Rebbe Lachacham. Rebbe told the Chacham. So the Gemara starts with the Rebbe defending himself, and he told the Chacham like this. He said, I don't understand you, rabbis. How could you say that's the metal that killed the guy? B'chi ne'emar. Does it say in the pasuk, the nashal habarza may eitzay, that the wood, that the metal flew from its wood? It doesn't say that. According to you, that you're telling me, that the metal, the head of the axe flew off, the pasuk should have said, the nashal habazal, the metal flew, may eitzah from its wood, from its handle. That's what the pasuk should have said. If it really means your scenario. And that's the scenario he's talking about. Probably isn't it? Loy ne'emar, it doesn't say Elon, but it only says, min ha'etz. It says, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, the nashal habazal min ha'etz. So really, all you see in this Gemara is very clear at this point. You see, what Rebbe explained to us why the Chacham are wrong, so to speak. Because the Pasuk didn't say right? The pasuk never said the metal fell from its wood, right?
They're wrong about what?
He said, "Your Rabbi Manan is saying, what went flying here? The metal is what went flying. The metal went flying off the axe, off the handle, and that's what killed the guy." Rabbi saying, "Look at the pasuk. The pasuk doesn't say that the metal flew from its wood, meaning from its handle. It doesn't say that." So,
but he gives the shita in the narration too. That's what I didn't get.
Who gives the shita? But Rabbi says, "Answer." Rabbi says, "But what does it say?" So what says? It's really a chacham marum. Step one, chacham marum. The third never says their case. That's step one. Step two. He says, "What does the pasuk say?" The pasuk says, "Min ha'etz." But right now at this point, I don't understand what that means. Because read the pasuk. I don't see how you see Rebbe's opinion. Fine, you don't see the chacham's opinion. I don't see Rebbe's opinion. What was Rebbe's opinion? Rebbe's opinion is that a wood chip went flying. So let's read the pasuk. I don't see Rebbe's chat either in the pasuk. Read the pasuk. The pasuk says, "The nashal habarzal min ha'etz." The barzal went flying from the tree. I don't either see Rebbe's chat right now either. That's why the Gemara soon is going to explain that he goes with Yishayim Lamasaris. The Gemara, after his second chat, is going to explain this step of Rebbe. That's what the Gemara is going to explain. Because right now, I don't understand anything in Rebbe.
He's saying guards on in the haste, it doesn't...
He doesn't tell me the wood chip went flying, right. The Pashup shot in the Pasuk. So, well, wait, the Gemara soon is going to explain. When the Gemara later is coming, it's explaining this point of Rebbe.
I understand where it's coming from later on, but right now, I think it's possible to understand
Rebbe
as saying, when he says, Minha Ace,
the thing is coming from the tree.
It's saying that either A, the barzo slipped off the tree, he swung and it hit the side of the tree with a bad shot, and then it itself...
But why say Minha Ace? So the barzo slipped from the tree, but where do I see the positive the wood chip hit it? I mean, I don't see, where do I see the wood chip went flying? It says fuzz. So what does the pasuk say?
But it says min ha'etz. So we're left with either a what's going to fly out from a tree, either a chip of wood, or the barzel itself.
Yeah, but the pasuk, but how do you, his whole problem is the pasuk has to read. So according to how the pasuk read, it says v'nashal ha'barzel, the metal slipped, min ha'etz from the tree. I still see from there.
Right, I hear what you're saying. You chop the wood, the axe sticks into the tree. Right, you pull the handle out, axe head's still in the tree.
Right.
Not axe handle falls off and kills somebody. And the ace from the tree.
Well, Rebbe's trying to say the wood chip kills somebody. Okay. I'm in Rebbe now. Rebbe's still with that. Rebbe's in the half room. So the pasuk should have said more clearly that the axe fell from the wood.
Right.
But Rebbe's saying the wood chip went flying.
Right.
I mean, we do see in the words, the nashal habazal min ha'ace. The axe slipped from the wood, that the wood chip killed anybody. So what the Gemara soon is going to explain. So he's going to hold the Yishayim Lamasaris, and he's going to explain that it really means like a causative, because it says Venisha, but as of now, right now, the Gemara doesn't make, you don't see anything in this pasuk. That's what I'm saying. That if you read this line, I don't see Rebbe. I see how Rebbe goes against the Chachamim. I don't see how he defends himself in the pasuk. Uh-huh.
That's my problem.
So, but that's why it's only based on the Gemara later. Later, the Gemara is going to explain the Yishayim Lamasaris. The Xer Shabbos and Rings? Not the Xer Shabbos and Nupsha. The Gemara soon is going to be explaining this first argument.
Well, the Xer Shabbos is coming to show.
It's a different shot.
That he had to bring a riot to changing his normal way of doing that.
Oh, but that's a different thing. That's the Gemara part. That's the next Gemara. But as of now, right now, probably he needed the Xer Shabbos. He couldn't have just this shot. But right now, in this shot alone, the only answer the Gemara later explains that he holds Yishayim Lamasaris and that he understands the word Vinisha, then it makes sense.
Why doesn't he mean the ace? Why isn't a mantra from that itself that from the ace? What else is from the ace? Ace is growing like, you know, like crockpots or something.
Yeah, it has that flow.
Only growing ace.
And it stays, but then ace
it comes out. What's going to come out of the ace? It's the wood.
No, the ace. So,
what is it? The nashal habazal. Read the sentence. Tell me the story. The nashal habazal. The axe slipped from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying you want to say now. So you just have to guess automatically. That means that the tree is killing the guy. It's a jump. The Gemara later explains it much better.
It's not meta ace from the tree, so what comes from the tree?
Wait a second, I wonder.
But it's just that the axe slips from the tree. It didn't say the
guy. Hold on a second, I want to clarify.
The nashal habarzel.
The barzel slip.
Brother, I'm going to go argue with you. You're interrupting. I want to clear up what I was trying to say.
Hold on, what did you say?
So you were asking, how do we know it's the wood itself from the ace?
Right.
And right now, in the middle, Rebbe taught us. No, if the Chachamim wanted to say it was the barzo itself, it would have said the ace so. And it doesn't say that. Okay, so it's not the barzo. What does it say? It says minha ace. So if it's slipping minha ace, obviously, it's the wood from the tree itself. Because the tree doesn't grow anything.
Well, maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's still the axe. Maybe I was chopping wood and went straight through the axe and on the swing killed the guy. Who said to witches? It says the Bible slipped from the tree. So I was trying to through my axe. And it slipped off and I hit the guy in the head. Why does it have to be a witch?
Maybe that's also called.
But that's not Rebbe's case. That's not true. Rebbe's saying the case is the terrorist class, the case of the witch. That's the case. That's what Rebbe's saying. So where did Rebbe see in the pasuk that the witch killed the guy? The Gemara later is going to explain this. I'm just saying the Gemara right now is very close. The Gemara later is going to open us up more this shot. Understand? It's because according to the Gemara, should Rebbe's case for the speed that axe killed the guy. But that's a lot of Basel. The Basel slipped midway from the tree and hit somebody in the head. So the axe killed the guy.
Maybe it's dealing with primary and secondary.
That's going to be more later. No, right now the Gemara is a simple case. There's going to be such a concept later. Right now, I'm saying Pasuk Shot, the words. Rebbe has to explain himself. So we'll see. Why is he explaining? It's fine. Why is he explaining himself? So that's what I'm saying. I understand what you're saying. You want to say, obviously, based on your shot, obviously it's the wood that killed him. I'm saying it's not so obvious. It could be it's the axe that killed him.
The axe itself.
The axe itself. I'm going with the axe.
It was
the whole
axe
shot. It
slipped off the tree.
No, come on. I feel like that's the positive. The axe slipped from the tree and killed the guy. I mean, I was trying to cut it, slipped, and the guy was standing right here. And it killed the guy. So what?
Maybe if that's a secondary action, maybe that's considered to be like the wood chip, which is a template for a secondary action.
But hey, where did Rebbe? It could be your saying true. But where did Rebbe see his case of wood chip? That's all I'm asking. So that the Gemara is gonna have to explain.
You're asking where did Rebbe see his case in wood chips?
Hey, where did he say wood chip in the pasuk? His case that wood chip went flying. As of now, it's not clear to me. So Gemara soon is gonna explain. But first, Rebbe is gonna say his second shot problem with the Rabbanan. Then Gemara is gonna go back and we're gonna break it down. We'll understand better this shot. Good. Fine. Let's see first. Baruch Hashem. Good. It's good. Everybody's trying to be into it. Fine. So again, let's see the Gemara again. Time. Yes, Rebbe. Yes, if it's good. I'm saying Gemara soon is going to have to explain Rebbe's shot better. I'm going to say the realization was fine. Time. Amar la Rebbe l'chacham. Vechi nemar. Does it say v'nashal habadal me'etz? Sorry, doesn't say that the Bible slipped from the tree. V'aloy nemar ela min ha'etz. That's one problem. V'oy. And also, furthermore, I have another problem with you, the Rabbana. Wasn't which is why I didn't explain this really is main shot. Ne'emar eitz lamata. It says the word eitz lower down in the pasuk. Ne'emar eitz lamayla. And it says the word eitz higher in the pasuk, which we'll look up the pasuk in a second. Ma eitz ha'amar lamayla min ha'eitz hamispakeya. What is it by when the pasuk said the word eitz higher up in the pasuk? It was referring to the tree which was being chopped. Af eitz ha'amar lamata. Also, that when it says wood, when it says the word wood lower in the pasuk, min ha'eitz hamispakeya is referring to the wood that was being split. Now, what in the world does this mean? Nemar eitz lamayla, nemar eitz lamata. So let's see Rashi. Rashi helps us out. Nemar eitz lamata says eitz lower in the pasuk. Where it says the word v'nashal habarzal min ha'eitz. It's referred to our words, and we try to figure out what they mean. It says v'nashal habarzal. The Bible says, min ha'eitz from the tree. So now, how do I know what that means? Because v'nemar eitz lamayla, it says eitz, the word tree, in the beginning of the pasuk. What does it say? Look for it to eitz, cutting the tree. Let's see the pasuk again. What does the pasuk say? Pasuk says, let's just say it outside the Gemara. Sure, Yova Israel Baya, your friend came, lachdov etzim, to cut trees, v'nidcha yodav agarzim, and his hand, he pushed his hand with the axe, lichras ha'etz, to chop, which, what are we talking about now? The guy pushed his hand to chop the tree. It's not referring to the handle. He took the axe to chop the tree. So we're talking about the tree. So we continue on in our sentence, continue the flow. V'nashal ha'barzal min ha'etz, and the barzal slipped min ha'etz from the tree. So he wants to explain that the same way earlier in the pasuk we're referring to the tree itself. So now also we're referring to the tree itself is what we're flying. It's a gzeira shava. Go ahead, saying it's a gzeira shava in the pasuk. Go ahead, you got that? So that's the second shot. Second shot, how in the world does Rebbe understand from the pasuk that the wood chip is what we're flying? It's a gzeira shava. From the beginning of the pasuk to the end of the pasuk. So the beginning of the pasuk, ha'etz is referring to the tree itself and not the handle of his axe. Here also, to refer to the tree went flying.
What's the second part of the pasuk? I don't understand.
The second part of the pasuk is...
I don't have fancy rules.
It says that he picked up his axe, he pushed his axe to cut the tree, which referring obviously to the tree. And then his part, the v'nashal ha'bazel, the axe slipped from the tree. Now, what does that mean? So just like early, what slipped, what went flying exactly? So just like earlier in the pasuk, we said eight. It's referring to the tree itself. I was chopping the tree. Now, also, what went flying was, is the, just like earlier, Pasuk said, I was chopping the tree. Also, now, when it says something went flying, it's referring to the
tree.
The piece of the tree.
Right.
So, the Gzeres Sheva.
Gzeres Sheva is, Rebbe's picking up the Gzeres Sheva, the tree, not the axe handle, not the axe handle, that's not the word we're talking about.
What do we learn from the fact that the Torah doesn't just say a piece of the tree to the law?
Everyone wants us to work. Have to work.
Yeah, that's easy. I can say that with anybody.
No. It's a good chance. It's a good question. I'll stop right now. Fine. It's a general question. Why do you have to learn the Gemara? Just make it a halacha sefer.
Because if it said that, you might think if it flies off the hand, it could also be higher too. So this way, and you're learning now conclusively that it's not the handle, it's the tree. Versus if you said that if a piece of tree falls off and kills him, because that also might be the handle too. The axe is coming off the head of him also. I think it might include it. I think it's this way. It's isolating that doubt specifically. Piece of the tree flying. Where if you did the other way, I think it could include, or you could try to distinguish or derive from it that also the axe, the head of the axe could do it, and the tree flying also. I think. I'm not saying it's exactly that, but I'm not sure.
So let's see the more first. Now we're going to explain, now we'll get some clarity in the first shot in Rebbe, what Rebbe was saying about the Pesuk. Amar Chibar Ashi Amarat. Ushneyan, both of them, who's both of them? Ushneyan. Both of them referring to Rebbe and a Chacham Gadol. Mikra Echad Tzarshu, from one pasuk they're making a drasha. I mean, it sounds like Rebbe's coming against the Chachamim, he's like proving for a pasuk that he's right. He's saying relax. They're both actually the same pasuk. And they're coming out with two different halachas, two different scenarios. How could it be? How's it possible? So what's the pasuk? The pasuk is V'nashal HaBarzel Min Ha'itz. So how do they come out with two different cases? Rebbe Sava, Rebbe holds Yesh Emel Masuris. The mother, and the main case we make a drasha is the Masur. Meaning what? There's always a Machlex in the Shas. When you have it one way, the word is read, and one way the word is written, right? You have a word that's written one way, and read another. We have a lot of numbers in Torah. It's called a Kriyachsid. It's written one way, it's read another. So when we make a drasha, how do we make a drasha? We make a drasha the way it's read or the way it's written? How do we make a drasha? How do you make a drasha, Chanan?
Well, Masur is the actual, believe it or not, the way it is written, not the way it's read. You think it'd be the way it's read, because that's the Masorah, it's unsolved.
No.
The Masorah is the way it's written.
Right, Rashi, the way the Masorah means the way it was given over to be written down for Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, so Yesh Emel Masorah means what? Yesh Emel Masorah. So there is a Yesh Emel Masorah. So like this, Rebbe says Yesh Emel Masorah. So you go after the Masorah. What's the Masorah? The Masorah is Venisha, because it's really written as if it said Venisha. Like we'll see in a second. Rabbanan Sari, Yesh Imla Mikri, go after the way it is read. Vinashal Kareen, it's written Vinashal. It's written Vinashal. Meaning, what does this mean? It means like this. Let's see Rashi. Rashi explains to us. Yesh Imla Masar. Let's see the top Rashi. What does Rashi say? Kal Kamoisha Nimshra, as the way it was given over, Ksav, the writing shall pave up the word Lamaisha to Maisha Rabbein. Anu Tzrichim, we need Ladarsha to Darshan. Vallah Lufiya Mikra. And not according to the way that it is read. Which means what? Rashi tells us very clearly. So at the current Vinasha, because when we read the Torah, the word Vinasha, at the Maisef, you're really adding on Havara, the pronunciation, Shal Aleph, of a Aleph, or Shal Hei, or a Hei. Be Nun L'Shin, between the Nun and the Shin. Well, Fiha Masaris, but according to the Masar, really, Vinisha Ksiv. It is written as if it's written Vinisha. And the explanation is Nishal Shehishal Habarzo Min Ha'etz. Shehishal Habarzo. The Barzo caused something to go flying Min Ha'etz. Hamis Bakel. But once it's Re'eh, and it found its friend. Rabbanan Sabi. Nishim La Mikra. You go after the way it is read. The Nashal Karina, Lashon Pa'al, it's what it caused it to do. Habarzo Atzma Nashal Ma'etz. The Barzo itself proof from the word. Flew for the wind. Now, what exactly does it mean like this? So, first of all, what do we say? Chanan, what do we say to me? Rebbe holds, you go after the Masorah, the way it's written. Right? Chacham will go after the way it's written. Chacham? So, Rebbe says the way it's written. Say, how's it written over here? Let's see over here. Rebbe says the way it's written.
I don't have a fancy one.
I'm writing it out like this. Here. The Torah really says it like this. above known Shin Lamed. Right now, if you just read it like this, so this, if you just read the Torah Pesach, if you have no Messer, you would read this Venisha. You would read this Venisha automatically. It's a Torah I don't, it's a Torah we didn't know otherwise. It's written, the way it's written in the Torah, if you had no, right, the Torah's no Nechudas. If you're about Kara, if you didn't prepare before, and you would read this word, you would read a Venisha. Why? Because if it was supposed to be read a Venisha, I have to read it, it says, say it like this. Venisha. This extra Aleph gives me extra vowel. Right? Or Rashi, either an Aleph or a Hey. So if I would be about Kara, then it's practice.
It's a Yud, not an Aleph,
isn't it? No. Over here, no. No, Venisha. I mean, if I would be about Kara, it says it like this.
How it's being read. You're talking about how it's being read or written. I'm sorry.
Rashi, automatically, when you see a word like this, right, you should read it as if there's a Yud here. Like, as if it says Venisha. That's the first read.
Rashi says,
not
according to the Mikra. That's the way you would read it. Normally, but you're saying the opposite.
You would read it Venisha.
Not the way you read it.
If we have no Masar from Moshe Rabbeinu, to read it otherwise, we'd read it like this a lot everywhere, all the words. No Masar had to read each word. We know how to read.
But Rashi just taught us, if you're the Mikra, you would read it with an Aleph or an A, not Venisha.
Now that's the way we got. I'm explaining my service now. Rashi explained my mikra.
He's explaining my service. It's printed, not the way it's read.
Rashi, you're in my mikra. I'm in my service.
You're okay. Thanks.
If you want to know how it's given over, so if it's given over, the way it was given over, I would read the word for you. About Kari in practice, you would read this Venisha.
And you read it because that's the way it is spelled.
Because it's spelled like it's a Venisha. As if it would be like make believe is a Yud. Because if there's nothing here, you make it as if it was a Yud.
You're talking.
If it would have to say, if you would want me to read a Venisha, right, if I had no one started, you'd have to write above Nun Aleph Shin. This is the the extra vowel. Right? O is an extra sound. E is not such an extra, you don't have to add so many extra letters.
So to read it that way, it would have to be written that way.
So usually, if it would say it like this, I would read it Venisha. Right? That's what I would read. Right? We might say we don't read, we have to start. So I would read it Venisha, right? Comes. Now, what does Venisha mean? I mean, if you write it the way it's written, not the way we read it, what does the word Venisha mean? Venisha means, and it caused something else to happen. It's a causative. Venisha la Barzal. The Barzal caused, I mean, the Barzal caused me to go flying. Minha ate from the tree. That means it caused the tree to go flying. Right? Got there, Blake? Venisha means, Venisha is a causative. So Venisha la Barzal. The Barzal caused something to go flying. Minha ate from the tree. So that's what Rebbe says the wood chip went flying. Good?
Yeah.
He says, that's what Rebbe says. Chama say, no. You darshan it as if it was written like this. The way it's read. And the way it's read, we read it Venisha. Right? Since we read it Venisha. Venisha means this thing, Losha Pa'ah. Probably this is what it did. Venisha ha-barzel. The barzel slipped. Mina eats from the tree. He saw the thing itself. That's the difference. Basically, it's very simple. Rebbe know the wood chip went flying. The Nishal means it caused something else to happen. The Barzal caused something to go flying. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very simple. The Nishal means it caused it, and the other thing is it did it itself.
That's what Rav thinks. That's what Rav thinks that
Rabbi is talking about. Rabbi is
holding.
But if this Gemara he held like that, the Gemara come and he held like that. Good.
The Gemara comes out that he held that because of Gezeirah Shavah, not because of this.
In this case, he was right.
You thought, Rob.
No, in the end, I'll be right. Fine, we'll get to it. Fine, we'll get to it. Yeah, what do you say?
I'm confused because I originally thought that when it said Mikra, that was the plain reading of the Torah.
Correct.
And the Torah was the drush of the Aleph and Hey, and now it seems like it's the opposite. The Besorah is the plain reading, and the Mikra is with the Aleph and the Hey.
And the Besorah is the way it's written in the Torah,
yeah,
the way it's written. Now, and I would read it a different way if the way it's written, and the Mikra is the way we read it. Mesorah is the way it's given over.
Mesorah is what?
The way it's given over, as if, like the Venisha.
Venisha is Mesorah.
This is the way it's given over. Now,
that's the way it's written in the Torah.
This is the way it's written. Now,
right?
If you wouldn't tell me how to read it, I would read it Venisha. So, the way it's written,
that's Mesorah.
This is a Mesorah, which means that's where Rebbe says go by the Mesorah, which means it caused. The Barzal caused.
I get that.
Fine.
Up there.
That's what.
So I wanted to know why
why we say Masorah is the way it's read, which is called Mikra.
Masorah is the way it's written.
Written and read.
No, there's two different things. There's Masorah and there's Mikra. Masorah is the way, there's a Masorah how, when we say Masorah, we're referring to the Masorah that it's written. When we say Mikra, we mean the Masorah how it's read. We have, of course, they're both Masorah. We have Masorah how to read and Masorah how to write.
Okay.
But when the Torah,
they're not necessarily the same thing.
Right, when the Gemara explains it, the Gemara explained the Masorah to the Rashi, said that it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu to write.
Yeah.
And then we and then when we say read, it means it really means the Masorah that was given over to be read.
Uh-huh.
So, no, it is confusing.
Okay.
I know.
I understand. Yes, I didn't copy.
Fine. Good. So that's the one. So let's see the Gemara's question now. So I guess that's the Gemara saying. According to Rebbe, so Rebbe learns, why is Rebbe wouldn't learn the wood chip when it's flying? Because if it said Venisho HaBarzel, Min HaEitz HaMizkakeh, it means the Barzel, the axe caused the axe, right, the Barzel, the metal wood, caused the Min HaEitz from the wood to go flying. That means the wood is going flying, right? Because he's learning it as it caused something to go flying. And the Chacham learned, no, read the Pasuk Lashon HaPa'al, a regular, that this thing went flying, Venisho HaBarzel, the Barzel itself went flying. So that's why the head of the axe went flying. That's the art one I said. That's the source of the machlokes. I had to understand the pasuk. Good, fine. But now the said we have a slight problem. You're talking now, Rebbe holds Yesh Eivul my service. Gemara asks a question. I have a slight problem with that. For the Gemara, Rebbe Yesh Eivul my service. Yirulei, Rebbe holds Yesh Eivul my service. Rebbe really holds you go after the way it is written. Now we're going to the top of Chasam Aleph. Baham Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that all the following people hold Yesh Eim LaMikra. Who's the first one on the list? Rabbi Leib, who's the first one on this list?
Rabbi
Yehuda Ben Raitz, Ube Shammai, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, Kulu Svirlu, they all hold Yesh Eim LaMikra. You go after the Mikra, say, heck, you tell me Rabbi holds Yesh Eim LaMikra, so you have a whole shot for me, all drawn out. It's not true. Rabbi holds Yesh Eim LaMikra, so you're wrong. My answer is, Haino de Kamalu Ba'ay. This is why Rebbe had to say a second shot. Because we're saying like this. The Ritva explained, like Ritzu said before, that what does it mean? So, first of all, what does it mean? Said, that's why he had to say a second shot. Meaning, Rebbe has two things he said against the Chacham. Rebbe had two things against the Chacham. What do you have? First of all, he said, if you read the Pasuk with the Masorah, it means that this axe caused something else to go flying, so it's the wood chip.
He said minute 8 instead of minute 8, so.
But he said, but what was his shot that he was learning? And the shot he was learning, what he said, says minute 8.
Right.
Meaning, like, Gemara explains, he holds Yesh Eim LaMikra.
Right.
Now we understand Rebbe's first problem. Meaning, let's go back to the Gemara for a minute. Go back to the Tanya again. Go back to the Gemara on Zion Abbas. How did the Gemara start? Tanya. Amar Lam Rebbe Lechacham. Lechi Nemer, does it say the nashal habazal may eight side that the basil slips from its wood? It says mina eight. He's not, but you, first of all, you're wrong. So it doesn't say the basil slips from its wood. But what does it say?
That's just a darshan from the pasuk itself. That's not
Ella
Mikra and
Because he said according to him, what has chat makes sense, what does it say? It just says mina eight. It just says the nashal habazal mina eight. So I asked originally, say, how does Rebbe's shot make any more sense? The public doesn't say Rebbe's shot either.
Right.
So, but it does, because if you're going with Yesh Eim LaMasaris, so the public says, Venishal HaBarzel Min HaEitz, which means the barzel caused to go flying, the metal caused to go flying, Min HaEitz, that's it, it's a cause of the term. So that was Rebbe's shot. Rebbe's shot was, the barzel caused to go flying from the tree. That it fell.
Then the second shot doesn't make sense.
That's one shot. That's one shot, yes. But oh, that's one shot. So again, Rebbe has one shot that the way he reads the pasuk says the fire is what caused the piece of wood to go flying, and the wood kills the man. That's one shot.
So you said in this particular instance, I'm holding Masorah instead of Mishra.
Exactly. Before, are you already getting confused with Gemara's tariffs? I didn't get there. Where's Gemara's kasha?
That's what you're saying right now.
So one second. Let's see. I explain the second. And then what's the ba'ayit? I have another pshat.
No, what you're saying right now, is that in this particular case he's holding.
That's Gemara's tariffs. Why? But why? Because he says ba'ayit. He has a reason over here to switch. Because of his ba'ayit. Because since he has Xeru Shabbat.
It's that.
That's what Gemara's explaining. That's what I'm trying to say now. Right. Meaning, the Gemara say like this. Usually Rabbi holds Yeshayim LaMikra. He said you go after the way it's read. So why over here do you go after the way it's written? The Gemara said he always told, right? Rebbe always told you go after Yesh Eimla Mikra. You go after the way it's written. So why over here does he hold Yesh Eimla service? It's because he has a second Pshat Xerus Shavit guiding him which way to learn. Since he has Xerus Shavit guiding him. So that gives him the right in this instance to change. In this case it must be the Torah means to tell me Yesh Eimla Saris. It has to make everything... has to flow my Xerus Shavuot. But usually, if not for my Xerus Shavuot guiding me, I think the regular way is we go after the way Yishev La Mikra, the way we read it. That's the way it's given to read it. We make the dress the way it's read it. Since over here I have Xerus Shavuot teaching me that it was the wood that went flying, and the only way to get to that pshat is by holding Yishev La Masaris. So in this instance, they guided me to hold Yishev La Masaris. So again, we said, you're telling me, Rabbi, that Rabbi says Yishev La Masaris to go after the Masaris, after the way it's written. But I, all of Rashash, Rebbe Hold, Yesh Eimla Mikra, you go after the way it's read. But it says, that's what we needed the Va'ayin. Since he had Xerus Shavuot showing me that in this case, the wood chip was what was flying and not the metal, that guided me to teach me over here in this instance to go after the Masara and not after the Mikra. And therefore, to understand that it's the wood chip that went flying and not the metal. That's the Gemara's Terence.
So it's saying that we need the Va'od, it teaches exactly. The Yerushalayim, it teaches exactly. The Masorah.
Exactly, so which means the Va'od is just a nice shot.
So then why does it say Va'od? Because Va'od, to me, seems to imply, here's an answer to the Chachamim, why Rebbe does what he does, and here's a little stronger, Va'od, here's a stronger answer.
So I'll tell you, because it would be on its own if you should tell me, Ish Eimla Masorah, it's a good shot.
Yeah.
But Rebbe, you never hold like that. So Va'od, I'll tell you, since I have Xerus Shavuot here, that's why I could say my first pshat.
You say you could answer
in this case
with the original first thing. You could just say that if the Torah doesn't say Eitzot, I hold Mikra, but I hold Masorah. You could answer like that, but because
I never hold like that.
Answer Masorah, right?
He would, because he's saying, usually I'm going to tell you Asian love service. I'm going to come with me, you're going to start screaming at me, put that, you're going to come, you know, campaigning against me, that I'm switching sides. I also should. It's not, but I also, furthermore, I have a backing. It could be a pshat in itself, and also it could be a backing.
Right.
But also, in this case, I have Xerus Shavuot. So right. It's really, it could be a pshat on its own.
It's a reason to change.
And also, so it could be a reason on its own. Rabbi is really asking why he's making two different pshat.
Right.
Because it's really both. First of all, I can say my first at Yeshiva Lama service. I'm going to attack me. I always hold the Yeshiva Lama Mikra. I have Xerus Shavuot here. But it's a second pshat. It could be a pshat on its own, and also back me for my first pshat. If let's say we would just say the second pshat, it could also flow. I could just say Xerus Shavuot here also, no? If I want over here, I could say just Xerus Shavuot.
Sure.
And don't bother me, Yeshem Lassay, Yeshem Lassay, I could just say Xerus Shavuot also, no? Let's say Rebbe, we just want to say Xerus Shavuot. He could do that?
Until he got to the Masorah part. Yeah.
But that was first. First he got the Masorah.
Yeah, at that point. That makes sense.
The point of Va'od
doesn't seem to make sense, though.
Okay, you know, of course, the Gemara also, fine, this is the Gemara's tariffs. Right, it needs work. You can work on it. I understand what you're saying. You want to say it's the Va'od, why is it like that? Fine. Fine,
what
go
else,
ahead.
What else should it say?
Yeah, well, I'm saying.
If you say just the
Va'od, what is it
going to
say?
No, because he said if
it doesn't make sense without the Va'od, then it shouldn't say Va'od. It should just say this, this.
That's it. But I could be a child is that, like, since the second tariff could be a tariff on its own.
It's coming to show us how much we need, how much we're being right now, needs to bear stuff at the back.
It is,
right. Because regular mahala.
Okay, but
then that wouldn't be Va'od, it would be just Va.
What?
Because Va'od implies the first tariff stands on its own.
It does stand on its own. He can hold, in that case, he can hold Masorah. There's a debate in all shots on whether or not you can hold Mikra or Masorah. So it could be that he happens to hold Masorah in this particular case.
Okay,
but then the Bryce comes and says you never hold Masorah.
We haven't gotten to Masorah Mikra yet.
No, we did.
At that point, at the Lashon Va'od,
Yeah, because that is first. Because it is, because first pshat. What's Rebbe's first pshat? Rebbe's first pshat is saying Masorah. I mean, what Rebbe said was original words. He went against Chayseh the Chachamim. You don't understand. I don't understand you. It doesn't say Me'etza. But what does it say? It says Minha Eitz. Right, the first kasha. Rebbe's trying to defend himself and going against the Chachamim.
No, because we only know the Masorah once Rashi brings it down from the word Yeshi'im the Masorahs.
Yeah, but that's what we understand. Now we understand. Now, retroactively, we understand what Rebbe meant.
Okay, so I'm not talking retroactively.
But the Gemara is. The Gemara goes like the Gemara is going that now we understand Rebbe's original statement is going working with Yeshi'im the Masorahs.
I hear. But that, I don't know, it's, I guess maybe it's a different mahala from the way that I learned to learn Gemara.
I mean, that little point that we're telling the Gemara means, yeah, that you see in Gemara's answer, the Gemara meant that was, I mean, you see the Gemara saying, I healed Yeshim Alasaris. I healed, we said, that's what he said about Ayyub. Meaning, you say from right there, the Gemara meant to say, the Gemara meant that his first shot is working with Yeshim Alasaris. I didn't even understand that until I got to the end of the Gemara. Then
I hear it. I was taught in my mahala from the morning not to do that.
But that. This Gemara did that. I didn't do anything. The Gemara did that. The Gemara did it before. I didn't do anything. Usually we don't do that. Nahon, you're right. Usually the Gemara switches. You don't say it's to explain the first thing. You don't go back. Here, the Gemara itself did it. Nahon, you're right. Fine, just go ahead.
That's it.
Wow. This is just a taste.